Good afternoon. I'm going to call the April 6th meeting of the Ag Finance and Policy Committee to order. This is a remote meeting and it will be held in accordance with House Rule 10.01. Roll call, Ms. Rolfs, please.
Chair Sundin.
Present.
Vice Chair Vang.
Present.
Representative Anderson.
Anderson, present.
Representative Burkle.
Burkle, present.
Representative Eklund.
Present.
Representative Hansen R.
Hansen R, present.
Representative Hansen J.
Hansen J, present.
Representative Cleavorn.
Cleavorn, present.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, present.
Representative Lewick.
Lewick, present.
Representative Miller.
Miller, present.
Representative Nelson.
Nelson, present.
Representative Thompson. Representative Thompson. Mr. Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you. We have the minutes of the meeting of April 4th. Representative Lewick, I'm assuming you've reviewed those minutes. Can I get a motion? Okay.
So moved, Mr. Chair. I think that was muted.
Thank you, Representative Lewick. You've heard the motion. Any questions, corrections? Seeing none, hearing none, all those in favor of the motion approving the minutes say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Okay, minutes are adopted. Today we're going to finish up our work on the 2022 Supplemental Finance Bill. Vice Chair Vang, would you please take the chair?
Certainly. To those who may be watching and missed the Monday morning meeting, we did a walkthrough of the proposed delete everything amendment and took public testimony on Monday. Additional written comments were accepted yesterday and they were posted. Today, we'll consider the amendments that were submitted and vote to move the bill out of Ways and Means. At the end of the last meeting, House File 4366 was laid over. I'll bring it back to before the committee with the motion that it be recommended for referral to the Ways and Means Committee. Chair Sundin, would you like to move the DE1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the H4366 DE1 amendment to the House File 4366.
Okay, members, the DE1 amendment is before us. There are a number of amendments to the DE1 amendment. Were submitted by the deadline. I will just go in numerical order and start with the A5 amendment. Representative Anderson, you have the A5 amendment. Please move your amendment and tell us about it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The DE5 amendment deals with the last part of the bill, page 48. I had the amendment to increase some of the financial limits that would be required for elevators and such to submit either a review or an audit to the Department of Agriculture. And then the language got added that made those reviews and audits public knowledge on the elevator's website. And I asked a question in the meeting on Monday, and Mr. Sullivan did some research, and I'm quoting the reply he gave to both myself and Chair Sundin. Says that he couldn't find any similar existing requirements for agricultural companies. And further, under current law, certain grain buyers must submit audited or reviewed financial statements to the Department of Agriculture. And when in the MDA's possession, these statements and the accompanying reports and opinions are classified as private, non-public data. That's Statute 223.17, Subdivision 6, Paragraph B. Madam Chair. Other instances of this data remaining private include applications to the Rural Finance Authority, the Ag BMP program, ethanol payments when we had those back years ago, and also pertaining to what's called the Dairy Trade Practices Act, which would impact the dairy processors, wholesalers, and retailers in the milk handling side. So, Madam Chair, I would ask the committee to look favorably on this amendment to delete that language, which I see as problematic in the bill on page 48, those two areas where the new language got added to my amendment.
Chair Sundin, do you have any guidance for the committee?
Well, some. I would say, you know, there's some legitimate issues that are have arisen, you know, regarding data privacy. We heard from Mr. Sullivan on that. And I think the bill language, or the language in the bill, addresses the need for information available to farmers when selling their crops. So I'd like to continue to work on this before it gets to the floor and encourage a no vote for today. But I'm certainly willing to work with Representative Anderson on moving his efforts forward, possibly in the Ways and Means or on the floor. So right now, I'd encourage a no vote.
Members, any questions to the other discussion on the amendment?
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I'm a little bit surprised at that, but I will continue working with the chair as this moves ahead. And if the chair is not in favor of the amendment, I would ask for a roll call, Madam Chair.
All right, a roll call being requested. Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing no further discussion, Ms. Ralph, please take the roll.
Chair Sundin?
No.
Vice Chair Vang?
No.
Representative Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Representative Burkle?
Burkle, aye.
Representative Eklund?
No.
Representative Hansen Jay?
Hansen Jay, no.
Representative Hansen R?
No.
Representative Cleavorn?
Cleavorn, no.
Representative Lippert?
Lippert, no.
Representative Lewick?
Lewick, yes.
Representative Miller?
Miller, aye.
Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Representative Thompson? Representative Thompson? Mr. Chair, there are 5 ayes, 7 nays, and 1 absent vote.
There being 5 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Next we have is the 86th amendment. That is my amendment, and I will move that before the committee. So members, the 86th amendment is a reference to microfarm grants. That's $2.6 million to organizations who can provide technical assistance and relevant services to support farmers and apply for the new federal microfarm policy. And I ask for your support. Any questions and discussion to the committee? Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, as I recall, you had a bill specifically that would provide eligibility and funding for this federal micro loan program, and it wasn't in the original bill. And now it comes back to us as an amendment. Could you give us some background as to why it wasn't in the original bill and why we see it again now here as an amendment?
Thank you, Representative Anderson. So it is part of the original bill for the A6. It's just added additional language to allow to pay for coverage to the microfarm policy. So it's still, much of it's still the same amendment. It just added more where the funding can be applied to. Follow up, Representative Anderson?
No.
Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the A6 amendment is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
No.
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 The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Next we have is the A7, House File 436687 by Representative Burkle. Representative Burkle, please move your amendment and tell us about it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A7 amendment. This amendment would insert the language from Representative Backer's bill 1886 that would raise the AFRA cap from $350,000 to $600,000. And then it also transfers $1.5 million from the general fund to the AFRA dedicated account, and would also reduce the DE1 appropriation for down payment assistance grants from $3 million to $1.5 million. That would put $3 million into the account and adjust various appropriations accordingly. So given how price or costs have increased to clean these environmental spots up, I would like to see that cap raised to $600,000. And that really pretty much distills what the amendment's about. Any questions? I'll take them now.
Discussion to the amendment, Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I support the Burkle Amendment, and the reason I support it is the additional funding to be put into the program. As it would stand with the increase, there may also be an increase in the fees charged, and the retailers pay a fee, and that's kind of capped at one half of their license. And it would fall in onto the folks that buy pesticides and fertilizer to pick up some of the increase to make that fund whole again in case of a fairly large remedial project. So I support the amendment by Representative Burkle with the addition of $1.5 million to the response fund, and I would encourage a green vote.
I also see Commissioner Peterson. Would you like to comment on the amendment? Please identify yourself and proceed.
Madam Chair and members, Tom Peterson, Commissioner of Ag. I would appreciate the opportunity to comment on this for a minute. I'd like to, if it was possible, have Mr. McAdams from our staff make some comments about this. We still have to raise some fees, but we're happy to work on this. And it's also nice to see an increase in this too as well, but we do have some issues with this we'd like to raise if Mr. McAdams could address that.
Mr. McAdams, please identify yourself and proceed.
Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Roger McAdams. I'm the Assistant Director of the Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division. I also am the Executive Director of the Agricultural Chemical Response and Reimbursement Account. I think this amendment, as it goes along with the report that we submitted and the stakeholder information that we provided from the regulated folks and the farmers, it supports, it goes along with the comments we received from stakeholders to raise that cap. There was a concern about the fees that would have to be raised. We put forward a fiscal note in estimation of perhaps needing an additional $3 million by adding the appropriation of $1.5 million into that account. That'll go a long ways to cover the potential added. So the fee, although the fees may still have to go up, they would not need to go up as far as we had projected in the fiscal note. So.
Thank you, Mr. McIndetz. Chair Sundin, do you have any remarks?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the input from the department, and not to repeat everything that's been said, but I believe everyone wants to raise the cap but not pay the increased fees. So rather than having those impacted or benefiting from the increase, this amendment has the taxpayer fund it. So I'm thinking whoever is back next year needs to take a comprehensive look at changes in this and other programs as well. But right now I'd urge a no vote on the A7.
Any further discussion to the A7 amendment? Representative Anderson.
And I'm sure I'd request a roll call vote on this amendment.
All right, a roll call being requested. Representative Anderson, anything else?
No, I think the testimony from the folks at the department signaling that the increase in fees would be less if this amendment were included in the bill, and any way to lower those fees, I think would be a good step. So I would support the amendment and ask for a green vote.
Seeing no further discussion and the roll call being requested, the A7 amendment to the amendment is before us. Ms. Ralphs, please take the roll.
Chair Sundin?
No.
Vice Chair Vang?
No.
Representative Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Representative Burkle?
Burkle, aye.
Representative Eklund?
No.
Representative Hansen, R.
Hansen, R, no.
Representative Hansen, J.
Hansen, J, no.
Representative Cleavorn?
Cleavorn, no.
Representative Lippert?
Lippert, no.
Representative Lewick?
Lewick, yes.
Representative Miller?
Miller, aye.
Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Representative Thompson? Representative Thompson? Madam Chair, there are 5 ayes, 7 nays, and 1 absent vote.
There being 5 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Next we have is the A8 amendment by Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson, please move your amendment and proceed.
Thanks again, Madam Chair. I'd move the A8 amendment. And what it does pertains to page 3 of the DE amendment, line 18. There already is a grant of $2 million to the department. And what the amendment would do would delegate or designate a $10,000 grant to each of our 87 counties, what are the agricultural inspectors in each of those counties, to enforce and implement the noxious weed laws in Minnesota. And also educate county residents regarding issues pertaining to agriculture, including but not limited to the noxious weed situation. I carried a bill earlier this session. We've tried it now for 2 years, and the county ag inspectors are a dedicated group. They do a lot of things in the counties, and they asked for some dedicated funding, really a relatively small amount to each county to help them carry out their duties. They have a lot of duties in the field of agriculture, but especially pertaining to noxious weeds. So I would ask for support for this amendment, which would give each county in the state a one-time grant of $10,000.
Commissioner Peterson.
Madam Chair, again, Tom Peterson, Commissioner of Agriculture, Minnesota Department of Agriculture. We just have some comments on this. First, I'd just like to say I really appreciate this being in the bill, just the base, the funding that's in the bill for increased noxious weeds. That's something we hear about quite a bit. But we have Mr. Cordelette from our department, and I'd like to have him make some comments if we could, Madam Chair.
Mr. Cordelette, please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Anthony Cordelette, and I supervise the noxious weed and hemp programs at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And I wanted to say thank you for the support to the county ag inspectors. You know, like most programs in the department, we hire staff to go out and enforce the laws and regulations that we have on the books or in the laws. The weed law is very old, and in that situation, we actually have the counties and townships and municipalities that have retained local control over enforcement. So although we help administrate and educate the county and township partners, they ultimately have to go out and do the work. My staff, I only have 2 full-time people here at the department that oversee the entire state and the noxious weed program. So we really value the work that the 87 counties do for us. This bill would allow us to give them some money to actually dedicate towards the duties, whereas for, I say the last 40 years, it's been what the counties refer to as an unfunded mandate. And it really makes it difficult for them to do any sort of high level noxious weed work for us. And I'll just conclude with that. They are, you know, our weed list and our is growing. We have more and more species that are coming into the state. Most recently, most of you have probably heard of Palmer amaranth, and we've had a big effort with that. The county ag inspectors are invaluable to that. And it's not just them that are assisting. They are organizing within their counties, you know, all of the township supervisors and all of the city mayors and municipality help that's also doing this type of work unfunded. So appreciate being able to make some comments.
Thank you, Mr. Cordelet. Chair Sundin, do you have any guidance for the committee?
Well, certainly do. You know, the work the county ag inspectors do is important in every county. You know, I've got communications on the noxious weed issues from Cochin County right on down to the Iowa border. And I know Representative Anderson's bill provided ongoing funding, but this amendment fits within our financial parameters of the bill. So I'm going to thank him for the amendment and urge a yes vote on this.
Any further discussion to the A8 amendment?
Madam Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
I just lost my chair back again. I want to thank the commissioner and Mr. Cordelet for their positive words about the work done by the county ag inspectors, and also say thanks to Chair Sundin for accepting the amendment, and I would encourage a green vote, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, the A8 amendment is to the amendment is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Members, the next amendment that we have is the A9. Representative Hansen, you have the A9 amendment. Please move your amendment and tell us about it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A9 amendment. The A9 amendment has three parts. It reduces the appropriation to the Heritage Seeds appropriation that was in the bill that I had presented earlier this spring. And it includes instead uses $1 million for a grant to the City of South St. Paul to provide financial assistance for meatpacking businesses or businesses. You may remember at the end of last session, we all voted on a provision that included $6 million through deed grant to the City of South St. Paul for the Hmong and other cultural meatpacking facility there. And so since that time, there has been an inability to make that appropriation because the fiscal entity needed to be the City of South St. Paul. In addition, the deed grant is reimbursement. This would provide support up front for the city as the fiscal agent to handle some of the property transfer issues involved in these sites. I believe Commissioner Peterson is also available to discuss this particular proposal. The second online 1.25, I listened to Representative Anderson's comments about the plastic fertilizer and pesticide, and also some of the written testimony, and we delayed that provision 1 year for delayed implementation for 1 year. The third provision, again, Representative Anderson, you had talked about the moratorium on the deer captive deer facilities. The provision that we had for transferring within the family had been adopted in the Environment Committee. So the provision that Chair Sundin had included was what had been before the Ag Committee. So this language starting on line 2.4 is the language parallel to that which was adopted in the Environment Committee that allows that internal transfer. So this provision deletes results in a need for those multicultural meatpacking facilities in South St. Paul, and then responds to some of the testimony I received earlier. I'd ask for your support.
Chair Sundin, do you have any guidance for the committee?
I'm okay with the amendment. I thank Representative Hansen for his work on this, and I'd encourage a green vote. Yes vote.
All right. Any further discussion? Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, sorry I'm late getting my hand up. I didn't mean to speak after the chair spoke. I thank Representative Hansen for some movement, although slight, on the fertilizer coatings and for reconsidering or getting the proper language in on the deer moratorium. But on the main part of his bill, it almost would seem to me that this would be more apt to be before the bonding committee. It's a specific location, a specific business entity. And we have a lot of funding for local meat processing. Maybe they could qualify for some grants under those programs. But just a question to Representative Hansen, have you talked to the bonding committee about this project? It looks like it's very worthy about getting some funding through them as well.
Representative Hansen, R.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Anderson. We continue to have those discussions. The unique thing about this is that there is some property that could be transferred. So it's an exchange rather than a purchase or a capital investment. I think that Commissioner Peterson may have some comments as well, if he would like to.
Commissioner Peterson, would you like to respond?
Madam Chair, again, Tom Peterson, Commissioner, Department of Agriculture, and just speaking to this part on the meat processing, it's kind of a unique thing that was done last year. These are two really important markets that serve very unique communities. These are pretty good size too, which is really important, and just taking, I think they do about 20,000 hogs a year and over 1,000 head of cattle. So as we're looking at Locker, but then serving a lot of our ethnic communities, which is really important, and they really need to move, and we really need to retain both of these. This they buy a lot of livestock right from my area, the sale barn here in Pine County, Chisago County, and then south of the city. So it's a really important, and they as that area is being developed, and so then costs have gone up. And so I think it's an important piece. If there's something we can do, whether it's this idea or looking at cash through bonding or another thing, something that we've tried to look at. And I do appreciate Representative Hansen bringing this forward, addressing this issue, just because of the importance that these two plants serve this situation. I would just say, like, costs, and we're working on all fronts. So they'll be eligible for our, meat processing grants. They'd be eligible for the new USDA ones that are open right now, but it's really hard. They got to finish this other thing, and we're just seeing costs to build a new, they also want to expand, which is good. One of them wants to expand where they could maybe even double the amount that we're taking. And so if we're looking to make an impact on our processing and meat processing, this is probably one of the better things the state could make sure they take care of. So I'll leave it at that.
Representative Anderson, follow up?
No, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion on the A9 amendment? Right. Seeing no further discussion, the A9 amendment to the amendment is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. I believe that is all the amendments that we have for the DE1 amendment. There are no other amendments to the amendment. The DE1 as amended is before us. Members, this is not the final vote on the bill. It's just adopting the amendment. Any further questions or discussion? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the DE1 amendment as amended signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
The motion prevails and the DE1 as amended is adopted. House File 4366 as amended is now before us. Any other comments, members, before we wrap up? Chair Sundin, do you have any closing comments before we take our final vote?
Yeah, I guess I've got a couple of comments. You know, as mentioned in, a, I guess, the Burkle Amendment and Representative Anderson's First Amendment, you know, there's some additional work that needs to be done. And I guess more specifically to the Burkle Amendment, you know, we can raise the cap on those fees, but it's not taking it from the public's pocket at this point. Is I don't think that's a very good idea. But these are issues that we're going to be working on next year, or someone will be working on next year. And I would say good luck to move those issues forward. But thanks for the constructive discussion and the adjustments we made to this ultimate proposal. So I'm looking forward to working on this as we move to the floor and through conference. So thank you very much. Oh, I see Representative Anderson's got his hand up.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. Yeah, thanks for the work on the bill. This committee always, to me, is a joy to work with. And Mr. Chair, I'd certainly like to visit with you or work with you as this bill moves forward. The language about the elevators and such is concerning to me, and I would hope that we could find some common language where we could keep that information private, non-public, as we move ahead with this. And I would appreciate working with you as this bill moves closer to the floor. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just to reassure Representative Anderson, I'm always willing to work with him. More so than anyone else in the legislature. So looking forward to making the bill better if we can. So I just like to thank everyone that's been involved and had a hand in this, a lot of fingerprints on this bill. So looking forward to pushing it through the process, and I ask for your support today.
All right, seeing no further discussion, the motion before us is that House File 4366, as amended, be recommended for referral to the Ways and Means Committee, and that nonpartisan staff is directed to make any technical corrections as needed. Ms. Ralphs, please call the roll.
Chair Sundin?
Aye.
Vice Chair Vang?
Aye.
Representative Anderson?
At this time, nay.
Representative Burkle?
Burkle, no.
Representative Eklund?
Yes.
Representative Hansen R?
Hansen R, yes.
Representative Hansen J? Representative Cleavorn?
Cleavorn, aye.
Representative Lippert?
Lippert, aye.
Representative Lewick?
Lewick, no.
Representative Miller?
Miller, no.
Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Representative Thompson? Representative Hansen J? Representative Thompson?
Madam Excuse Chair? Me, before you announce the vote, Representative Thompson is just joining here.
Okay, thank you. Representative Thompson?
You got kicked out. And I got kicked out of the Zoom, so I wasn't able to vote.
Representative Thompson, right now the motion before us is House File 4366 as amended. Be recommended to refer to the Ways and Means Committee, and we're taking a roll call vote.
She was close to my name, and I got kicked out.
Okay.
No worries. Representative Thompson?
This is yes.
All right, thank you. Representative Hansen J. Madam Chair, there are 7 ayes, 5 nays, and 1 absent vote.
What's the number again?
7 ayes, 5 nays, and 1 absent.
Okay. There being 7 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails, and House File 4366 as amended is on to Ways and Means. Thank you, members. Chair Sundin, I will return the gavel to you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Members, that's about it for our agenda today, and quite possibly for our regularly scheduled meetings. I don't anticipate meeting again this session, but as you know, we have some emerging issues that we may need to address. I see Ms. Representative Burkle's got his hand up if you want to say something before I close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to address the situation in the poultry industry now with high-path AI. I'm wondering if you could maybe talk a bit about where we're at with the Senate drought bill and our drought bill and what's going to happen here in the next couple of days. My understanding is over the last 5 days, things have escalated quickly, and I'm afraid that coming back from Easter break, it might be too late. And I don't know if Commissioner Peterson wants to chime in or not, but if he's still on. But I'd like to see something happen before we leave on Friday. Could you address that?
Commissioner Peterson, you want to lead off in this discussion?
Sorry about that again, Tom Peterson, Commissioner of Agriculture. And, you know, thank you for just giving us a moment to address what, you know, is a situation that has unfortunately has gone from bad to worse here just recently. As it feels like we just jumped from 3 to 20 cases kind of overnight, and more cases coming. And that we're, you know, I think as a department, we are set up to support the Board of Animal Health of, you know, just kind of to see how it works. We have our incident commander, Lucy Hunt, who's at the department. We have many of our different staff people that may have different positions within the agency have redeployed to help this situation. A couple of concerns we're seeing is that this is not just staying in the poultry belt of Stearns and Wilmer and up to Becker County, things like that. We're starting to see now two cases in Waseca County, cases in Dodge County, cases in Le Sueur County, kind of spreading around the state. And just a reminder that just not in commercial, but also in backyard flocks as well. And so, you know, just a lot going on right now. And I think for the topic of this discussion too, we are watching and trying to be as diligent as we can with our ag emergency account, and expenses do come up quite regularly, and a lot of this will be reimbursed, or we have the USDA in that's working with us. We have a team that's come in today, but you know, our some of our resources have been stretched a little thin. In that we had six cases in one day, something we didn't have happen in 2015. And so just a very, you know, interesting and critical situation right now. We are seeing it not move farm to farm, which is important, as we did in 2015. We hope to keep that. We think that that has to do with good biosecurity plans and things like that that we're taking in, taking in place. So I'll just leave it at that, Mr. Chair. Glad to answer any questions, and thank you for the opportunity.
Representative Anderson, please.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, as Representative Burkle mentioned, timing is everything, and we need to be getting at these positive cases as quickly as possible and to stop the spread of the disease. And I know there are some big differences, let's be honest, between the House and the Senate disaster drought bills. And the one thing I would say, the Senate bill does have immediate assistance for the bird flu situation. They have a $500,000 for the ag emergency account, and then also funding for the vet diagnostic lab, which are both very timely and critical. And you know, I would support the DNR's tree endeavor if we could, you know, somehow separate that out and just get this disaster piece done as quickly as we can. And as Representative Burkle mentioned, we're coming up on an Easter break. And if we could somehow get something done by the end of this week on Friday, I think it would make the commissioner feel a little bit better, because funding is key here to keep up with all of these outbreaks. And I would just encourage all of us, if we can, to try to work together and get something done by the end of the week. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Hansen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I have a question for Commissioner Peterson. Commissioner Peterson, back in 15, when the first wave of avian influenza came, it was also around this time of year. And just wondering, there will be, thousands of Minnesotans that are out in the field turkey hunting over the next few weeks. And just checking if there's been any outreach with the DNR to look for any issues where it might be showing up in the wild flock.
Commissioner Peterson, please.
Mr. Chairman and members, Representative Hansen, excellent question. The DNR sits on our incident management team and reports out every morning and has been a critical part in that, and also tracking wild birds across the state. So it's definitely something that's been discussed, and and we are finding wild birds. That's something the DNR and the USDA Wildlife Services tracks every day. I think in the last couple of days, we've seen eagles and Canadian geese, crows. I think I already mentioned eagles. And so it is concerning too. I feel like we're finding more of those birds than we did in 2015 too. But the DNR is actively involved in our incident management team.
And
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that response, Commissioner Peterson. The legislature has been in session since January 31st, and the House passed a comprehensive drought aid on March 10th. We're now almost a month after that. It appears that somehow in the Senate, passing drought aid for trees is somehow diminishing drought aid for agriculture. And no one is proposing cutting any of the drought aid for agriculture. We have a $9 billion surplus. All that is being asked for is that the drought aid for the trees be included. But somehow the position has been that that has delayed, which isn't true because we passed our bill weeks before the Senate did, or somehow it diminishes. And I don't know how, if you're getting your money, how somebody else getting money is diminishing you getting your money. You're still getting your money. So it's really a kind of an upside down world when this is the argument, when we should be able to come find common ground for these responses. It's just kind of sad because it seems to be the position of one or two individuals in the Senate. So I'm hopeful that things could get worked out, but it also, the idea of compromise is compromise, not capitulation. And I just want to caution, as we mentioned earlier in this committee, we have businesses in the metro area that were burned out and never got any aid. If we're all together, we are all together. And we need to think about that. And all, instead of always rushing to be at the front of the line, regardless of the crisis, there are crises affecting all of us. And we need to work together to solve it for everybody.
Thank you. Representative Burkle, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Hansen, for the comments. I'll chime in on the one point. There's commercial pheasant farms. There's just a lot of differences in this virus relative to last time we saw it in 15. And thank you, Commissioner Peterson, for illustrating that as well. I will say this is time sensitive and critical, and I understand what Representative Hansen is saying. However, we're in a situation where the DNR isn't going to go out of business. And right now we have poultry producers across the state who are holding their breath as this weekend comes. Caseloads have doubled in the last 5 days. Caseloads will continue to double if we don't depopulate faster. There's workforce issues that we have. There's companies in the state that really need to know that this money is ready to go for the Department of Ag and for the Board of Animal Health. So I'm disappointed to hear that we're going to hold this up with politics. At this point, I remember this very thing happening, frankly, in 2015, and it's disappointing. With that, Chair Sandine, I would hope that we could bring that Senate language to the floor tomorrow and pass it through, concur, and move on. This money needs to get to the Department of Ag as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Burkle. Representative Lewis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would echo Representative Burkle's concerns. Last time I checked, this is the Agriculture Committee, and I would just ask every member here to consider that we've got livestock folks that have long since been damaged, and it's a shame that we would be worried about some other areas that frankly are predominantly the prerogative of the Environmental and Natural Resources Committee. And we're holding up both drought aid that's already done its damage, it's already crippled, in some cases put livestock producers out of business. And then, as Representative Burkle mentioned, we've got this other raging high path situation with the poultry folks that's going on. And I really think it's time for folks to back up here. And, you know, it's nice that we compromise, but this isn't compromise, it's all or nothing. And that all or nothing approach right now is going to continue to damage livestock producers and is not helpful to dealing with this high path thing. This is not the kind of approach to agriculture that I think is normally the way we do things in this committee. Everybody doesn't get everything every time, and you got people suffering out there, and this is just a pretty callous approach, as far as I'm concerned, that we continue to drag our feet on this. You know, sometimes it takes two or three steps to cover all the bases. You don't get the first base until you hit the ball. And this is really simple. We need to hit the ball and get that initial emergency dollars out there for those that have already suffered the damage and those that are suffering it right now, and the ability to continue to support our emergency response. So just get out of this all or nothing approach because people are suffering. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lloyd. Representative Cleburne, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just like to ground our committee in the understanding that we're talking about three disasters. And we don't have to race each other for which disaster is the worst. When we have priorities in our state, we can all work together collectively to address each of these disasters and without calling each other names and being respectful. And Representative Burkle, I just want you to know the avian pathogens that we're facing now impact my district as well as your district, and it's something that I'm willing to work with you on and be supportive of. Likewise, speaking with Representative Anderson this morning, I understand the needs of our farmers who've suffered drought and the hay shortages. These are things that we can all work on together, but I just ask that we please step away from name calling or intention or any of that. And let's just focus our energies in a positive way in addressing each of these disasters. And we can do it collectively or we can do it separately. But the intent is making sure that we get help where it's needed for any disaster that impacts our state. Thank you.
Okay, second or third time around, Representative Burkle.
I'll be quick, Chair Sandine, sorry. I just want to remind everyone, and thank you for that, Representative Cleburne. And I'm willing to work with everyone as well. This is, I just want everyone to remember what happened in 2015 and the fact that as an industry, it cost us $650 million. So this can escalate quickly, and it will escalate quickly if we don't act quickly. Thank you, Chair.
Baseball game. Did you finish your comments, Representative Burkle? Okay, thank you. Representative Anderson, please.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Might as well add my thoughts into this, too. As far as prioritizing, yeah, I think that's good. But again, we're prioritizing a situation with the highly pathogenic bird flu that's that has got to be the utmost concern right now, a number one tops, because it's happening right now. We're being overwhelmed. There's talk of calling in the outside forces to help man some of these situations to get this controlled. So that has got to be priority number one, no doubt about it. The drought aid, you know, the drought happened a year ago. We've had a lot of time to work on the drought bill, that it wasn't pushed forward. And again, I think the people with livestock need to be somehow helped as they try to recoup and to keep their herds in intact. And just to comment to Representative Hansen, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But in my feeling is that we maybe shouldn't have put the two together. You know, the drought aid for farmers, in my opinion, could have been done separately. And then the fact that there were $13 million for your portion, the DNR in the trees, and $10 million for the ag community. I think the perception by some is that, well, you can take it for what it's worth, I guess. But again, sure, they've been linked together. You know, that's not my call to make. But I think they're related, but really they aren't, in the sense that again, the timing is so key on the animal side, the poultry side, and on the livestock side as well. So, Mr. Chair, again, I would urge too that we could somehow come together and prioritize this turkey flu thing, the bird flu thing, as the top priority, and get funding to that before we take off on our Easter break. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other comments on this topic? Okay, thank you, Representative Anderson and others for this good discussion. The influenza outbreak is of the utmost importance at this point. And the drought relief, you know, that's been sitting on the Senate's table since the 10th of last month. And I'm just surprised that they took so long to even respond with an inadequate response. But going forward, I'll be working with Commissioner Peterson and others, industry folks, and whoever else wants to chime in, please let me know your thoughts as far as getting some money out as soon as possible under the guidance of the department to fend off what we can, or wherever we can, this avian influenza. So that is of the highest priority. And you know, we're in a political atmosphere here. Everybody's trying to elbow their interests in, but I hear all the voices on this, and I will be cooperating with the governor's office and others to bring this to resolution and provide the funds necessary to fend off the influenza. So before we adjourn, we've got a lot of people to thank here. Vice Chair Vang has been just terrific, taking over some of the meetings and fulfilling her responsibilities. Our lead Republican, Representative Anderson, Representative Miller, as well as all the other members, have been terrific to work with. And I appreciate their input every day. And all the state agency folks that they've advocated on behalf of an organization, all these people have just been terrific. Our nonpartisan staff, Colby Sullivan, Ken Savory, House Public Information Team, and our partisan staff, Bennett Smith, Mark Nisley, and Margaret Martine, just terrific people to support us in our efforts here. And our committee staff, past and present, you know, we go through a few people once in a while, We miss the people that have contributed, and I welcome the new people as well. So I appreciate your partnership. Most of you have made my last year's chair very rewarding. So, and we're not done yet. With that, this meeting's adjourned.